T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station your children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name is Gary Parish, speaking from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. The FedEx Forum on Saturday night, expecting to see a competitive basketball game, because it was not. Impressive performance from the Tigers. Another blowout victory. 90-51, 39-point win over North Carolina Central. So Memphis is 2-0, heading into tomorrow night's game with St. Louis. We'll talk Tiger basketball momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:15, I'm going to be joined by North Carolina Central coach Lavelle Moten, who, of course, had his team inside FedEx Forum on Saturday night. Going to be nice enough to join me because I want to pick his brain about what he saw. This is a man who's coached in four of the past 7 NCAA tournaments, who in recent years has coached against Louisville, North Carolina, Iowa with Luka Garza. He knows what a great college basketball team looks like. So I'll ask you, is what he saw on Saturday night, is that a great basketball team at the collegiate level, or at least one that has a chance to be that? Lavelle Moten from North Carolina Central is going to join me in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do 4 notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories, among them the Grizzlies. Going to be back inside FedEx Forum tonight on a 3-game losing streak. Yuck. The good news is that they're playing a 1-win team tonight, the Houston Rockets. The bad news is that they just lost to a 1-win team, the New Orleans Pelicans. Grizzlies are now 6-7. Under 500 for the first time all season. We'll spend a few minutes on them around 4:44. The Titans improved to 8-2 with a 23-21 victory over New Orleans yesterday. So they're now 2-0 without Derrick Henry on a 6-game winning streak. I'll let Bennett celebrate a little later on this hour. Massive win for Ole Miss and Mississippi State on Saturday. Ole Miss beat Texas A&M in Oxford. Tremendous scene. Mississippi State win to Auburn and won. Nice win for Mike Leach's program. We'll talk about the Mississippi SEC schools just before 5 o'clock. In the Memphis football program, lost another one on Saturday. East Carolina beat the Tigers inside Simmons Bank. Controversial play call in overtime. We'll talk about that during 4 notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cock is just like always. Then I will eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with Memphis basketball, because the Tigers played for the second time on Saturday night, and it was the second straight blowout of the season. Final score, Memphis 90, North Carolina Central 51, and the Tigers were just incredible defensively once again. Like, Lavelle Moten's going to join us in the next segment, but I got a text from him yesterday morning because I was going to try to be there on Saturday night, A, because I want to see the Tigers in person, and B, because, like, Lavelle Moten is one of my favorite guys in college basketball, just a top-shelf human being, and wanted to see Lavelle. But I ended up having to go to New York, be on CBS Sports Network on Friday night, and then my late Saturday flight got pushed back later than it was originally supposed to be. We sat on a runway for 2.5 hours.
Oof.
Finally finished Squid Game, though.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I liked it.
It was pretty fun, huh?
Yeah.
A little violent?
I mean, I don't know if it was fun.
I had a good time.
I mean, I enjoyed watching it. I don't know if fun's the word I would describe. But, yeah, I finally knocked out Squid Game while sitting on a runway. Really terrible weather at LaGuardia. And so we were going to have to take a different route to Atlanta because I had a connecting flight. My options were take a early direct or a later connection. And I'm like, I mean, I can get out of the studio until 2:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
On Friday night, so I was like, I'm not going to do like a 7, whatever. It was early flight. I'll just take a connection later. I'm too old to not sleep. And so I get on the plane. There's bad weather. We got to take a they say we got good news. They're going to clear us to take a different route to Atlanta to avoid some of this bad weather. I said, that is good news. Let's get on with it then. And they said, here's the bad news, though, is that we don't have enough fuel to take that route. So we have to get fuel. And I said, okay, we'll get it. And apparently, at least under these circumstances, it took a while. Like when I go to get fuel, I just put my little card in the machine,
yeah,
and I pump it right in, and it's over with. It's a matter of minutes. If for whatever reason, it took about 2.5 hours.
Don't you think? I figured they'd have fuel at the airports.
I don't know what happened. I mean,
roll up the fuel truck.
I'm not going to
pump that in the airplane.
I'm not going to pretend to know what happened. So I was in the air during the Memphis North Carolina Central game, but I got a text from Lavelle yesterday morning, so the morning after the game. And he said, gee, they're hard to score on. And there's a lot of evidence that suggests that's true. Memphis held North Carolina Central to 26.2% shooting and 12% from three. They were 17 of 65 from the field, just 3 of 25 from three. Hard to score on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we knew all along, certainly assumed all along, that Memphis would be hard to score on. Especially for a program that is at the North Carolina Central level, because it's just a different caliber of player, athlete, everything else. Memphis was ranked number one in the country in adjusted defensive efficiency last season. And some important pieces from that team that finished 31st at KenPom were coming back. Penny Hardaway, if you were actually trying to identify the most reliable thing about a basketball team coached by him, you know, now that we're in year four, it would be that they're going to guard you really, really, really well. So it should come as no surprise that they are once again great defensively, currently ranked a third in defensive efficiency at KenPom after, again, holding North Carolina Central to 26.2% shooting from the field. The good news, I think, if you're a Memphis fan, is that they're not just great defensively again this season. They're respectable on offense. Like, they're shooting the ball well, and they are performing way more efficiently on the offensive end than they have in recent years. We talked about it, felt like every other day last season, that if Memphis was just average offensively, they could have been so much better as a team because they were so overwhelming defensively. But they weren't average offensively. Even after playing well late and winning the NIT, they still finished ranked 117th in the country in adjusted offensive efficiency. That's just not a good number. You know where they're at right now? 40th.
Okay.
So they're top 40 in both offense and defense. They're respectable in one and amazing in the other. Now, I don't think they're going to shoot 44.4% from three on the season, but I do think they're going to be a better three-point shooting team. They were pretty good last season, finished 58th in three-point field goal percentage. Right now, that 44.4 ranks 22nd. I think it'll probably come down, but I don't think there's any doubt that they can, emphasis on the word can, be a better three-point shooting team this season than they were last season. 36.3 on the season last season, I think they'll be better than that. And if they're better than that and more efficient in general, then yeah, this has got a team. This is a team that's got a chance to be really, really special. There's only so much you can tell about a basketball team when the only two games that they play
right.
are against Tennessee Tech and North Carolina Central. I think that goes without saying. But all over the country this weekend, you know, teams were losing to wildly inferior basketball products. Georgetown lost a bye game. Dayton lost to UMass Loyal. You're not supposed to lose these games, but teams do it sometimes. And so for Memphis to come out, you know, in the first week of the season and bomb Tennessee Tech 89-65 and then back it with a 90-51 victory over North Carolina Central, where they really made it incredibly difficult for an outclassed opponent to get shots up, make them. That's about all you could hope for through the first two games. And so now you turn your attention to tomorrow night, which will be the first game of the season against the top 100 KenPom team. And in theory, the first test of the season, although I'm not sure how much of a test it'll be, because, you know, if you're somebody who still buys preseason magazines, Athlon, Blue Ribbon, you probably, you know, have gone there to read a St. Louis preview. And in those magazines that were printed months ago, you're going to see a lot of the St. Louis previews focus on a young man named Javonte Perkins, who is a terrific college basketball player. I was lobbying for him to make our list at CBS Sports of the top 101 college basketball players in the country. He was like maybe the last cut. He's a really good player towards AC on the preseason.
Dang.
They're just not the same team without him.
Gotcha.
I mean, it would be like if name any team and you take away the guy who is so clearly their best player. That is what happened to St. Louis in the preseason. So I'm not sure it'll be a test the way you might have thought it would be a test if Javonte Perkins were coming with St. Louis in the FedEx Forum. You know, the Tigers are probably going to be favored by 11, 12, 13 points, something like that. So it should be, based on that alone, another double-digit victory. But it'll be a double-digit victory if you get it that registers a little differently because, yeah, St. Louis is shorthanded, lost its best player, but that's still probably a quality basketball team. They're 3-0 right now, 99th at KenPom. And so it won't quite be the step up in competition that's coming when the Tigers play Virginia Tech the day before Thanksgiving. And, oh, by the way, Virginia Tech, we had them on our air, CBS Sports Network, on Friday night against Navy. They pounded a Navy team that had just beaten Virginia. So that Virginia Tech team's good. They're up to 27th at KenPom.
Okay.
I've got them in my top 25 and one. That's a good challenge. That'll be the first real, you're going to have to play well to win this one, game of the season. But tomorrow night will at least be interesting because even if it's not a step up in competition, the likes of, you know, a Duke or a Kentucky or an NCAA tournament team, it is still a significant step up from the first two opponents. And it'll be fun to see how this Memphis team, being led by Amani Bates right now, responds when presented with that type of challenge. So tomorrow night will be a big night inside FedEx Forum. Saturday was a big night for the home team inside FedEx Forum. Memphis wins at 90-51 over North Carolina Central. We'll talk to Lavelle Moton, the North Carolina Central coach, next. Ask him about what he saw from Penny Hardaway's team and also ask him about an interesting tweet he shared yesterday. It was a picture of him and Penny, and the tweet was him explaining that when he was in eighth grade, his mentor took him to a basketball tournament and set him down and said, do not watch the game. Just keep your eyes on number 25. Number 25 was Penny Hardaway at Treadwell High. So I ask Lavelle Moton what he remembers about that experience. We'll do that next. You listen Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Grizzlies are back inside FedEx Forum tonight. The Rockets are in town. We're going to spend some time on that in the next segment. Jeff Cogger will be here a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, I'm lucky to be joined by a man who has coached in 4 of the past 7 NCAA tournaments. He brought North Carolina Central to town this weekend to play Penny Hardaway's Tigers. His name is Lavelle Moten. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
Lavelle, as always, I appreciate your time. Before we get into the game over the weekend, I want to ask you about a tweet that you had yesterday. It was a picture of you and Penny. And you mentioned that when you were in eighth grade, your mentor took you to a high school tournament and said, don't watch the game, just watch number 25. Number 25, of course, was Penny Hardaway. What do you remember about that experience and Penny in general as a high school prospect?
Man, I was an eighth grader and dubbed the next big thing that's going to come through Raleigh, North Carolina. And every year we had this big holiday tournament in Raleigh. And at that time, it was Penny Hardaway, Rodney Rogers, Sean Bradley. That was the core class that was coming in. So my mentor took me to the tournament. It's my first time ever being at the tournament. And I was just amazed at how many people was there. He said, look, I don't want you watching the game. I just want you to watch number 25 for Memphis Treadwell. And it was Penny. Every time they started the game, he would take a jump shot from the hash mark. Like, that's how they started every basketball game, Memphis Treadwell. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And so I just watched them play, and I just thought, wow, this is the best basketball player I've ever seen in my life. And it inspired me. I knew that day, you know, I had to go back and do a lot of work to get better myself. But I had someone that I thought was similar to me. I wasn't 6'7", 6'8", at that time, but I was real, real thin. And, you know, he just gave me hope, and he became my favorite player because I knew everybody loved Michael Jordan, but I couldn't do what Michael Jordan could do. Nobody could. So Penny just kind of gave me hope and inspiration. And over the years, we formed a good relationship, a healthy respect for one another. We've been trying to play each other for quite some time, and we had the opportunity to play, man. So it was just a dream come true. You know, and I think life comes full circle when you wheel it in.
I think it was Bill Self who told me once upon a time, he was at Oklahoma State at the time as an assistant, and they were recruiting Penny to some degree, although he realized that they weren't going to be able to pull him out of Memphis. But Bill Self described Penny Hardaway as the best high school prospect he's ever seen. Like, put him in that category. He was, I think that because it was like before, you know, 24/7 sports and recruiting rankings and all of this, it sort of gets lost. But he was a uniquely gifted high school prospect.
Man, it was like the only person we had ever seen of remotely close to him was Magic Johnson. But Magic wasn't that athletic. So Penny brought the athleticism to the big point guard position, right? And it was the first time, like, you had a point guard that was 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", with a 40-inch vertical, right? That could pass it like Magic, that could score it. I was like, man, this dude is absolutely incredible. So even to this day, he's my favorite player of all time, man, and I just wish injuries didn't derail his career, and I wish people could have seen him in high school because he was amazing.
I'm talking to Lavelle Moten. He's the head coach at North Carolina Central. They've been in 4 of the past 7 NCAA tournaments. They were in town over the weekend to play the Tigers. So you texted me yesterday morning, and you said, among other things, Memphis is really hard to score on. That was true last season. It appears to be true again. From a coach's perspective, for a guy like me, it's easy to just look at numbers and say, hey, they're hard to score on. From a coach's perspective, right. But what makes it that way?
It's the length and athleticism, right? So they have the ability to shrink the floor. We had to adjust our press breaker because, you know, it's one thing watching them on tape, right? That 6'9 dude on tape don't look 6'9". But when you get close to him, he looks 6'11", right? And so we had to kind of create more space just with our press breaker because we knew they were going to press, but it's almost like they're right beside you. And so their length and athleticism made us feel like they had like 7 or 8 people on the floor, right? And it took us a while to adjust to the press break, and that's what happens in real time when you're playing against teams like this. But once you break that press, normally the goal is to attack it, but they have Jalen back there who looks like he's 6'12", and he's blocking everything and rebounding everything and starting their break, and they just come at you in waves. So over a course of time, it becomes attrition, and it can continue to wear you down. And Penny's done a good job of getting those guys to buy in to that defensive effort. And, you know, they playing hard as they want to play, and now another guy's coming in and replacing him at every 3 or 4 minutes. So it's tough to deal with.
It is one of the things that Penny has been able to do really well is coach on the defensive end of the court and get, you know, these high-level talents to buy in defensively. You've been around the sport for a long, long time. How in general, how difficult is that to do, particularly when, in some cases, you're talking about NBA prospects and you're also asking them to get up and down the court pretty quickly?
It's really difficult with NBA prospects, right? And I don't want to say – there was a certain coach's name that I was really good friends with, and he was at a mid-major. And he had ultimate success by getting 3-star kids to just buy in and press full court, and that was his style. And then he made the move to go to a Power 5, and he lost his identity, right? It was almost like he had to readjust because he couldn't get 5-star kids to fly around and buy in and press full court. So it's extremely hard, especially for guys that's considered one-and-dones, because the reality is all-star players in high school don't play defense anyway, right? That's the one department that they suffer in. Their offense is their defense, and half the time they're the most talented player on the floor, so they don't really have to buy in defensively. And that's at their high schools or their AAU programs or whatever. Now when you get a 5-star kid to come to your program and say, go pick up full court and play hard as you can and dive on the floor, right? And you're asking them to do that when they're 18, 19 years old, and they ain't never been asked to do that anymore before. Right, they can look at you like you got 2 heads or whatever. But he's doing a good job of doing that, especially with Amani and Jalen. And maybe they're so young that they just want to buy in, and they're really good kids. I got a friend on staff, Rasheed Wallace, who crazed about him. He said, look, man, these are 2 of the best human beings ever. And it's not as difficult when you have the other guys who may not be considered NBA draft picks or high lottery picks, but he's gotten them to buy in because now that creates opportunities for them. And I looked up the other night, they had 89 points. We don't give up 89 points, but it gets them going up and down the floor. So they really bought into that method of madness for them.
I'm talking to Lavelle Moten, head coach at North Carolina Central, was in town to play the Tigers on Saturday. You mentioned you're tight with Sheed. That staff also has Larry Brown on it. What do you make of the way Penny has assembled his coaching staff? Because it's obviously a unique situation.
I told him, you know, he stopped by practice the night before. We've had conversations and we text, and I told him the one thing I admire about him is his humility. You know, is a lot of coaches, you know, your ego is your gift and your curse. And a lot of times the coaches don't want people around them that's perceived to know basketball more than they do. They just come up with their own philosophy, they're convicted in their beliefs, and then they hire people to just say, go do as I say. But when you have a Larry Brown around who's been, I think Larry Brown, 81 years old, right? And I'm old enough to remember Larry Brown coaching Kansas in 88 with Danny Manning, right? Like, so he's been around so much basketball, and that knowledge that he can bring to that program, Penny welcomed that in. And a lot of times coaches don't welcome that in. Same thing with Rasheed. Right, a lot of people don't know Sheed personally. He's gotten a bad rep because of what you saw in the NBA and the text, but he's one of the most incredible human beings you'll ever meet with the wealth of knowledge. He's the reason those Detroit teams won the way they did, one of the reasons, and when he was in Detroit when they won the championship. So Penny bought him and welcomed him in. So I think he's helping him with the bigs LB is kind of helping him with the overall totality of the program, and Penny is just kind of managing the personalities. And, you know, I think they got a Final Four team.
I'm talking to LaVell Moulton, head coach at North Carolina Central. I was about to ask because, like I said, you've been in four of the past seven NCAA tournaments. In recent years, you've played, you know, Iowa with Luka Garza. You've played North Carolina. You've played Louisville. You know what a good slash great college basketball team looks like. Does this one look like that to you?
It looks like that, right? And so I know it's still early. People are still, you know, evaluating their rosters and seeing what they have. My only concern with this Memphis team, and they're smart enough, and they'll adjust, is when you press teams and you can't turn them over and your defense don't create the offense that you desire, now how are you going to score, right? And that boils down to everyone. All the great pressing teams is good, but that don't win championships. At the end of the day, it comes down to half-court defense and half-court offense, right? You have to be able to execute in the half-court setting. You know, like I know NBA teams, they'll score 135 points a night right now. But in the NBA Finals, the scores would be 98-86 or something like that. You have to be able to execute in the half court, and both offensively and defensively. And so if I think they have one Achilles heel, being picky, I would say that's going to be it.
You mentioned Jalen Duren. The other five-star freshman is Amani Bates, someone who has been a basketball celebrity since he was at least 15 years old. I know you've seen him over the years. You got to see him up close Saturday. What do you make of Amani as an NBA prospect?
I love him, man. Right after the game, I text KD and I said, he reminds me so much of you, right? Just his love for the game. I'm like, the next time you watch this kid play basketball, just watch his love for the game. She said, Vale, he's the first one at practice. He takes the most shots before practice. He takes the most shot after practice. He really loves and works to perfect his art and his craft. That's how KD is. I mean, I'm sure you know KD.
Like, of course.
That's how KD is, and that's how KD's always been. And then, like, he's a legit 6'9". They not giving him any inches, or like, he's a legit 6'9", right? So he always have the ability to shoot over you at worst case scenario. So that makes him, you know, a unicorn in a sense, because he'll always be able to get his shot off. And his love and enthusiasm for the game, that's what I really love about him. And on top of that, he's a high character kid. So anytime you're a high character kid, great things happen for you and great things fall into place. So the sky's the limit for that kid, along with Jalen too. Like, Jalen is a legit 6'11", 7 feet, 250, and like, I don't know how many times I asked the referee during the game, I said, man, that's goaltending. Like, I said that like it was Wilt Chamberlain out there, right? Because like, it was that many close calls at the rim. You just don't see that rim protector that much in college basketball anymore. So those kids are, the sky's the limit, and they supposed to be in high school right now, G. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, they don't even supposed to be playing college basketball. They're still babies, right? They're still pups, and they're out here competing at a high level, and more than holding their own. So I'm crazy impressed by it.
Wrapping up here with LaVell Moulton, head coach at North Carolina Central, in town over the weekend to play the Tigers. Before I let you go, you tweeted a picture of you and your team in front of the Lorraine Motel on Saturday, obviously now the Civil Rights Museum. I'm always real appreciative anytime a coach comes through with his team and takes, you know, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, but takes his players over there to see that, because it is, you know, I've been there a million times and it's still a moving place, a moving experience every time I'm there. What did that mean to you, and what did that mean to your players to have that moment this weekend?
It's probably my fifth time personally going, and anytime I come into town with my team, this is the second time we played Memphis since I've been at Central. I'm a teacher at heart, right? I used to teach in the classroom for 6-7 years, so history was one of my things. And in our history books, we don't really learn about the Lorraine Motel and Martin Luther King, and they might give you a page and a half on it, but I've studied them much deeper. And I understood why he was in Memphis the night he was in Memphis. Like, and it's always chilling. Like the mountaintop speech, the night that he gave the mountaintop speech before his death. If you listen to it, he's prophesizing his death, yeah. Right? And so to see all that coming to fruition, and actually visit the landmark in the exact place of where someone who tried to unify and gave his life to sacrifice and unify people, where it ended and where he was assassinated. I don't think anyone should come to town and take that opportunity for granted. And I definitely didn't want to do that with my team. You know, they may not understand the impact of it right now, but when they're older and they have families and they have a wife and, you know, they've lived enough life to understand it from a different perspective, then maybe they'll have a stronger appreciation for it. But they enjoyed it, right? And, you know, since the last time I've been here, they added that museum part. They kind of expanded it. So I think that's a great thing as well.
That is Lavelle Moten, the head coach at North Carolina Central. He was in town to play the Tigers over the weekend. I'm sorry that my travel schedule kept me away from FedEx Forum. I hated that I missed you, but I appreciate your time, brother, and I can't wait to see you again.
You the man, man. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me, G.
All right. That's Lavelle Moten, head coach at North Carolina Central. Interesting that he said that he's, you know, his understanding of Amani Bates is that, and it's a bit of a cliche, first one in the gym, last one to leave, but it's a good thing when it is said about you. And the idea that people are saying that about Amani Bates is a really, really good sign. Like, if you're an NBA executive, that's the type of thing you want to hear. So often with these top-tier, top-shelf talents, the difference between being good at the NBA level and great at the NBA level is little more than your approach, little more than how badly you want it, little more than the time that you put in. Like, you know, Kevin Durant did that 1 year at Texas and was phenomenal. Like, a statistical monster, just dominating the college game right from the jump. He was the national player of the year. The following year, Michael Beasley enrolled at Kansas State, broke all of KD's records. Every freshman, not every, but just about every freshman record that KD set in the Big 12, Michael Beasley came right behind him and broke every one of them. Similarly gifted. Different players, but similarly gifted. One guy's going to go down as an all-time great, and the other guy's going to go down largely as a bust. And what is the difference between them? Approach. I mean, there's other things, obviously. But one guy loves basketball and takes it super seriously. And the other guy's a bit of a knucklehead. Now, Michael Beasley still made a lot of money playing basketball, but never proved worthy of where he was selected in that draft. And the reason, or at least among the reasons, is because it was well documented well before he got to Kansas State that he's a little bit of a different cat. You know, that if you gave him an option to get up an extra 500 shots or do something that a knucklehead might do, he'd lean toward doing something the knucklehead might do. KD, he's getting the shots up. One of my favorite stories about Kevin is he leaves Texas, gets picked, plays his rookie year in the NBA, has already signed like a $100 million shoe deal. So he's got literally, you know, all the money you could ever need at the age of 19, 20. You know what he did after his first season in the NBA was done? Went back to Austin and slept on one of his teammates' couches in an apartment and hooped every day. That's all he wanted to do. Keep in mind, this guy could have moved to L.A., moved to New York, bought the baddest house, apartment, condo, whatever you want, or just moved to Austin and bought the baddest house, condo, apartment. No, he just wanted to hoop all day with his old teammates and live just like them. That's his approach to this. Kevin Durant wants to be playing basketball all the time. So to hear Amani Bates' approach to this, to hear that his approach is similar, is super encouraging, not only if you're a Memphis fan, but also if you're an NBA team that's going to select him in a couple of years. Because, again, that's why they spend so much time, these franchises, so much money doing background, talking to people who know these prospects in ways away from the court. I remember the Celtics were evaluating somebody a few years ago. Brad Stevens called, like, the guy's high school math teacher. Just wanted to talk to anybody who knew. I need to know who I'm. I could see what type of player I'm getting. What kind of person am I getting? What kind of approach do they have? How badly do they want to be great? And according to Lavelle Moulton, the returns on Amani Bates, when you ask those questions, are really, really good. And again, that's super encouraging if you're a Memphis fan, but also if you're an executive who is going to spend a lottery pick on that young man someday. We come back. Grizzlies back in FedEx Forum tonight. The Rockets are in town. Grizz trying to break a 3-game losing streak after a rough, yuck performance in New Orleans. We'll get into that next. You listen to Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Okay, now they got me wanna rap again. Heal the wound and then you stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my then. See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Goat body.
New Amsterdam Vodka. It's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. Filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. I know you know by now. It is so smooth you can drink it straight. I promise you. Really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store, and that's because it's a quality vodka that is reasonably priced. It wouldn't make any sense for you to spend extra money on any other brand. New Amsterdam, that's going to be the best value you're going to find when you're looking for a quality vodka to enjoy as the temperatures get cooler in this holiday season. If you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam has a bunch. Watermelon, lemon, raspberry, orange, red berry, peach, pineapple, coconut, and if you're on a gluten-free diet, either by choice or necessity, understand that New Amsterdam makes a gluten-free vodka. It's got a brown label on it. If you don't see it in your favorite liquor store, ask them to get it for you. They can. Next time you're in a restaurant, next time you're in a bar, next time you're in a liquor store, ask for it by name. New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. Jeff Karkin is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 stories at 444. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. 4 notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 Notable Stories at 444. Story number one.
What an awful performance down in New Orleans at the Smoothie King Center on Saturday night. Final score, stupid Pelicans 112, Grizzlies 101. How do you lose by double digits, get blown out by the one-win Pelicans?
Until they do, I'm just convinced they're like never going to beat the Pelicans, no matter who the Pelicans put on the basketball court.
What a yucky performance.
I mean, what happened? I texted you, and I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, I was like, I think I was still on a plane. And, of course, following the game as best you can, you know, in a plane. And Bennett's fired up. He's like, why do the Grizzlies suck now?
I was frustrated by that one.
It is wild. Because, you know, in Saturday night, like, everything was wrong. Jaren Jackson Jr. couldn't make a shot.
Right.
Wasn't very good. The Grizzlies were allowing the Pelicans to score, not at will, but, you know, New Orleans, just like everybody else, you know, shot nearly 50% from the field, nearly 50% from three, and 88% from the free throw line, 22 of 25. New Orleans just scored. And because the Grizzlies can't stop them or anybody. And it's wild that this was a good defensive team last season. The Grizzlies were 7th in the NBA last season in terms of defensive rating. It was at 110.5. That was good enough for 7th in the entire NBA. Only behind the Lakers, Sixers, Jazz, Knicks, Warriors, Suns. That was it. And they're literally dead last in the NBA right now in defensive rating. Behind everybody, including the Pelicans, which are 29th. So, you know, how does that happen?
It's a good question. I mean, I think that the hope is that once Dylan gets more games under his belt, that this, because I mean, he's kind of the defensive leader on this team.
There's no question that and there's no denying, I don't think, that Dylan Brooks, when he's back in the starting lineup and consistently playing, you know, midseason type minutes, when this injury that he suffered this offseason is completely behind him, I don't think there's any doubt that they will get better. I still don't think the absence of Dylan Brooks should be the thing that makes you go from seventh to dead last.
Agreed.
Like, it shouldn't be that catastrophic. But they're really struggling to guard anybody right now. And, you know, by extension, they look like a not good basketball team. Now, the NBA season is long, and what you're hoping is this is just a bad little stretch. But it's still discouraging because they are now under 500 for the first time this season. And considering they started with such promise, like, I think you could probably go back and find a tweet of mine from early in the season that is more or less saying, you know, this has been a super encouraging, you know, start to the season. And now that has turned to a discouraging stretch. You know, I was talking to somebody about it over the weekend. It is true that they traded away two of their five starters.
Yeah, and I mean,
people push back a little bit.
I know.
When I and others pointed out when these deals were made, like, okay, I get it, but you're downgrading your roster. Because, I mean, I don't know if you've been paying attention, not you specifically, but just people in general.
I've been paying attention.
I know you've been paying attention. Grayson Allen's playing well.
He's playing really well
for the reigning world champions. He's averaging 16 points per game. He's shooting 44% from three. His PER is 18.32, which is, you know, top 70 in the NBA. He's having a nice season. You gave him away and got nothing back that is helping you right now. And then you traded Jonas Valanciunas as well and got, yeah, a different starting center. But statistically speaking, it's not even comparable.
No.
Between Steven Adams and Jonas Valanciunas. So the Grizzlies got rid of two starters and added nothing that is averaging at least 9 points per game or 5 rebounds per game. I know people didn't want to hear it, but they did downgrade the roster in an attempt to maximize the future. And I'm not even saying they were wrong to do it. I get it. I understand.
I get it too.
But we don't have to lie to each other and act like they didn't do it. Like, I get what they're doing. I understand it. But they did downgrade the roster in, you know, from last season's roster is better than this season's roster. Now, this season's Ja Morant is better than last season's Ja Morant, and this season's Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be better than last season's Jaren Jackson Jr. because there barely was a Jaren Jackson Jr. last season.
Right.
So this team might end up being better than last season's team, but they did downgrade the roster. They removed two starters from a playoff team and got nothing back in return that is statistically comparable for right now, and I think that's showing up a little bit too.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that puts kind of a magnifying glass on it is specifically on Saturday night, like, you give away Jonas Valanciunas, fine. We understand why they did that. You're making way for Jaren to be the future of this franchise and to probably be your five going forward. But when you see Jonas Valanciunas destroying the Grizzlies, yeah, and then Jaren is not productive on Saturday, it does put the magnifying glass on it a little bit more. And I think he'll get better, but right now he's inconsistent to start the season.
Again, I have no issue, no real issue with the direction this front office decided to go from last season to this season. I totally understand what they're doing. The only thing I got frustrated by is when you would say, they did trade away two starters. Like, you could think whatever you want to think about Grayson Allen. He was a starter for a playoff team.
Right.
And he's having a great season for the reigning world champs right now. Those are facts. The only thing I got frustrated by is when I would say to, you know, whether it's friends or, you know, here on air, like, they have downgraded the roster. Now, the payoff might be massive down the road, but for now, the roster has been downgraded. And I didn't understand why people would push back on that as if it weren't true, because it was obviously true. And so now, here we are. Hopefully, you can bounce back tonight, get back to 500, and there's probably nobody you'd rather be playing if the goal is to right. snap a three-game losing streak.
Well, I thought that Saturday.
Yeah, then the Houston Rockets. You know, the Rockets are a one-win team. But the Pelicans were a one-win team until, you know, until they got to play you. So the Grizz are like 11.5-point favorites tonight.
The Rockets are horrible.
You should be able to handle this. And if you can't, we got bigger things to talk about.
Story number two.
What a big weekend for the Mississippi SEC schools. Yep. Ole Miss, with game day in town, beats Texas A&M 29-19. And then earlier in the day, Mississippi State handled Auburn on the road 43-34. So just the Mississippi schools representing themselves well.
About that.
How about that? And the game day, the entire scene was cool. Lane Kiffin being the guest picker, that was perfect and funny. Like, he has really leaned into likable Lane Kiffin.
Yes.
Like, people enjoy him now. And I'm still fascinated how that happened. There's probably a lesson in there for all of us somewhere. How did he go Man. From somebody who was widely perceived to be among the most unlikable, if not the most unlikable coaches in college football, to a guy who everybody seems to enjoy now? Like, not just Ole Miss fans. Ole Miss fans enjoy him, but I think college football fans in general like Lane Kiffin now. And I thought it was really smart. I know I saw some people like on Twitter, like, it's lazy to let Lane Kiffin be the guest picker. I thought it was perfect. I thought it was smart.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I thought it was smart. Like, I don't know who else you could have gotten, but like, people like Lane Kiffin. They like to hear him talk. They like to see him on TV. He knows how to handle himself in those situations, and I thought he was good on Saturday morning, and the team was obviously fabulous on Saturday night. So now Ole Miss is 8-2 with Vanderbilt and Mississippi State left on the schedule. They might go 10-2.
They really might. They got a shot. That Egg Bowl is going to be fun this year.
Yeah, like that game, yeah. I guess it's always fun, but it'll be like...
There's stakes, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be like it's like you got two good football teams that'll be playing. It's not always... You have two good teams on the field when Ole Miss and Mississippi State get together. But it will be the case this season. Both programs are in pretty good places right now.
Story number three.
Can't really say the same for the Memphis football program after another disappointing loss this weekend. In overtime, 30-29, they were upset by East Carolina. You got a big problem with Ryan Silverfield going for two in overtime?
I didn't like it. I didn't like it. I just thought that I get it. Like, you don't – the argument is you don't want to put that on the kicker who's struggled, you know.
He just kicked a high-stakes field goal.
He just kicked a field goal. And, like, what is this thing now about babying kickers? Like, they're part of the team, too. Like, they got to take responsibility just like every other player on the team does. I don't understand. It just seems like you kick it, you go into another overtime, your defense had been playing good. Like, you got a chance to stop them and win the game. So, I didn't like the call.
I'm always let the record show. I'll be consistent on this forever. I think forever. I'm always extend the game. I want to extend the game. The only exception being if you are just so clearly outmanned and you have miraculously found yourself in overtime, but you're a coach and you know your team and your guys are worn down and you might, under those circumstances, you might just say, you know what, the longer this thing goes, it's not in our favor. Let's just try to end this now. And see if we can get out of here and steal one. I'm understanding of that. Other than that, I'm going to want to kick it and extend the game. Like, let's go see if we can get a stop and then get a score. I would be more understanding of going for two under these circumstances if Memphis had not just kicked a short field goal to even get into that right. situation. I feel like you lose a little bit of the we didn't want to put it on our shaky field goal kicker when the last thing we saw him do was kick one straight through the uprights. And so, you know, ultimately, reasonable people can disagree on this, and I know reasonable people do, and that's fine. I think in that moment, I want to just kick the extra point, extend the game, and go try to get a stop. It's not like East Carolina had been just you know, this wasn't some 50-50 overtime situation.
Nope.
They scored 23 points in four quarters. You had stopped them throughout the game. I'd want to get back on the field, try to stop them, and see where we go from there. You know, Jeff Calkins wrote a column about it. If you haven't read that yet, it's at dailymemphian.com. I'll talk to him about this Tiger football situation. We're going to do it in the next segment.
Story number four.
Another win for the Titans.
How about them Titans? Did you see me? You had a nice birthday party for Lou yesterday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.